1. Once again, I get the shortest of all lessons. I must be living right for sure. Well, I think Lee had, I know he had a very long one last week, and I get the short one this week, but it's short and hopefully very sweet and powerful as we think about the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation. And let's go ahead and ask the Lord to bless this time of our study. Our great and mighty Father, Lord, we are grateful, Lord, to enter into this place, Lord, of worship. And Father, we are thankful, Lord, that you have given us so much, so many blessings, Lord, that you have bestowed upon us as we reflect upon our nation's freedom, our 246th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And Lord, we are thankful, Lord, for the history that you have brought us through. And Lord, to this present day, Lord, we are grateful, Lord, for all that you have done, that even today that we can come and worship in freedom without any fear of the government intervening. And so, Father, we just ask you, Lord, to bless this time as we look at this particular chapter and this subject. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to understand what your word tells us. Ask you, Lord, to bless the service to come. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in chapter 33. If you do have a book, The Purpose of Creation, chapter number 33. We've learned thus far from the scripture and from the study that we've been looking at that God is the creator of all things, and that he's not only the creator, he is the sustainer of all things. All things with him consist, and he holds all the molecules and atoms together. And if God ceased to sustain this universe that he created, the universe would be destroyed. So he is the creator, he is the sustainer, and therefore he is the rightful owner of his creation. It now follows that we consider the purpose for which he created all things. Why did God create a universe? Why did God create an earth and fill the earth with billions and billions of people? Why would God do such a thing? Well, think about this. If God was under no obligation whatsoever to create this universe, and if he did not need the universe to fill some void in his existence, then what was and is the divine purpose behind the creation and continued existence of man? That's what this lesson is going to be about today. Now, I will say that this is a lesson that this generation needs to hear, because we have a two or three generations of folks who really have no reason. If you were to ask them, what is their purpose in life? They have no purpose. And they have no reason for their own existence. They think they're just random. Their existence is just by random chance, through evolution. And so therefore, there's no purpose. But there is a purpose for our existence. The scriptures boldly and unapologetically declare creation's purpose to be to the glory and good pleasure of God. We are all created for the glory and good pleasure of God. And that is the chief end of man, that we glorify God. And so again, our generation needs to hear this, that they have a purpose. Each and every one of us was created by God each and every one of us are sustained by God. And therefore, each and every one of us are owned by God through the rights of creation. And therefore, we must give Him glory for what He has done. Now, notice, first of all, the God of all fullness. The God of all fullness. This is something that we're going to be reminding ourselves of. We've already talked about this in previous lessons, but one of the most awe-inspiring and humbling truths about God is that He is absolutely free from any need or any dependence. His existence, the fulfillment of His will, His happiness or His good pleasure do not depend upon anyone or anything outside of Himself. Now that's pretty hard for us to comprehend, but that is the truth. He is the God of all fullness. And again, we've looked at this previously in chapter number 11, speaking that God is the only being who is truly self-existent. He's the only being who is truly self-sustaining and self-sufficient. He is truly independent and He is truly free. All other beings, including ourselves, derive their life and blessedness from God. But all that is necessary for God's existence and perfect happiness is found in Himself. And so to even suggest that God made man because God was lonely, or God made man because God wanted to love someone and He wanted to be loved, or that God made man because He was incomplete is absolutely absurd, and honestly, it is downright blasphemous. Because creation is not the result of some lack in God, but the result of His fullness or the overflow of His abundance. We're going to be looking at Psalm 38 and John 5:26 as they teach us about God's self-existence and His self-sufficiency. The question he asks is, from where does God's life or existence come? Is He dependent upon another? Well, Psalm 36 and verse 9 says this, "For with you," speaking of the Lord God, "for with you is the fountain of life." For with you is the fountain of life. God is life. John 5:26 says, "For just as the Father has life in Himself, even so He gave to the Son also to have life in Himself." Now Paul Washer says that God has life in Himself and is the fountain of life and light for all living creatures. He is not dependent upon another. All things are dependent upon Him. Now, as a Christian, we understand that, right? We can comprehend that. But even the lost person, whether they realize it or not, are totally dependent upon God's mercy and God's goodness. Their life is dependent upon God as He is the sustainer. The Bible says it rains upon the just and the unjust. And God gives the lost world air to breathe, just as we have air to breathe. He gives them food to eat, just as we have food to eat. All things are dependent upon Him. The sun, with all of its majesty, with all of its power, and with all of its glory, is dependent upon the Lord God for it to sustain itself. The self-sufficiency of God is a declaration of His infinite greatness and His exalted place above His creation. Think about that. Think about the power of the sun. Think about the immensity of the size of the greatest star, the largest star that the astronomers have found, which dwarfs our largest star in our universe, the sun. But yet God not only created that, but He sustains it. He sustains it. This is speaking of the power of God. And so the self-sufficiency of God is a declaration of His infinite greatness and His exalted place above the creation. So you have those wonders in the heavens that are just majestic and they're just so powerful. But yet God is greater than those things. So all things depend upon Him for their existence, but He Himself depends upon no one. No one. In Acts chapter 17, there it is recorded that the Apostle Paul's sermon to the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers on Mars Hill, in verses 24 and 25, he refutes their idolatrous views by making two very important declarations about the living God. And Paul Washer asked the question, what do these declarations teach us about God's self-sufficiency and His relationship to His creation? Well, notice in Acts 17 and verse 24, the God who made the world and all things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. And so this speaks about His relationship to His creation. He does not dwell in temples made with hands. Verse 25 says, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all people life, breath, and all things. And so God is in need of nothing. He is self-sufficient. He goes on to say that the first declaration proves that God has no need that man should build Him a temple, since He Himself made the universe, and even it cannot contain Him. The second declaration proves that God's command for us is to serve Him is not a result of a need on His part, but rather, I love this, it is an act of grace. It is a gracious thing that we are able to worship Him. It is a gracious thing that we are able to serve Him. That He would even want us who were created out of the mere dust of the earth to worship Him and serve Him. What an honor that is. He grants us the privilege of knowing Him. He grants us the privilege of serving Him and being the special objects of His favor. And so we see the God of all fullness. We see also, secondly, the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation. If God did not create the universe because of some need that He had, then what was His purpose in creating this universe? Why did God create all of these things? Why did He create the stars and the planets and people, animals? Well, the Scripture teaches us that God created everything for His own good pleasure. God created everything for His own glory. Now, Paul Washer says this may sound strange to us that God would create all of these things for His glory and His honor and for His good pleasure. it may sound strange to us or even a bit self-centered and selfish on God's part, but nothing, honestly, could be further from the truth. He says, consider these two evidences of this. First of all, God is worthy to take the highest place above His creation. And He is worthy to be the object of all our thoughts, all of our activities and worship. For Him to deny Himself first place above us would be for Him to deny that He is God. Secondly, the greatest good that God could ever do for us and the greatest kindness He could ever show us would be to direct all things so that His greatness might be fully displayed before us. And so if God is of infinite worth, if He is of infinite beauty and majesty, and we know He is, then the most valuable, the most beautiful and majestic gift that He could ever give us would be to show us His glory. And we see His glory, at least just a fraction of it. And what we do see, we are amazed at it, right? How many of y'all have been to the Rocky Mountains and seen the majesty of those, I almost said rolling hills, but there's no rolling hills in Colorado, are they? Arkansas has hills compared to the mountains of the Rocky Mountains. But my soul, that's just a fraction of His beauty. And remember, what we're seeing is a cursed world, a cursed earth. We cannot even imagine the paradise that God created in the Garden of Eden, that one that was not touched by sin. Notice, God is the Creator. He is the sustainer. He is therefore the rightful owner of the heavens and the earth and all that dwells within them. All things were created by Him. They belong to Him and they exist for His glory. Paul Washer mentions Romans 11:36. Romans 11:36. And it says, for from Him are all things. For from Him. In other words, God is the source of creation. And again, He is the fountain of life. For from Him, out an outflow of His being, are all things. Creation owes its very existence to God, and apart from Him, there would be nothing. And so man is not the product of some mindless evolutionary process that he should live without purpose. I mean, that's what our public schools have been indoctrinating, you could say, to our children for the last several decades. That you're just an evolutionary process. You have no purpose. You were created by accident. There's no value to your life. Nor is He the source of His own existence, that He should live for Himself. Rather, He is the work of God, that He should live for His glory. And again, this is so pertinent to our current situation, where people are just such in an uproar over the Roe versus Wade issue, and where several people are mad that they can no longer have the right to kill an innocent baby. One of the reasons for that is because they miss the fact that God is the source of their existence. That mankind should not live for himself. Rather, He is the work of God. He is the highest of all of creation. Man is, and therefore he should live for His glory. So Paul mentions, for from Him are all things. Secondly, it says this, through Him are all things. Through Him are all things. That is, God is the agent through which all things were created and are sustained. If God were to turn away from His creation for one moment, as I said earlier, all would be utter chaos. The planets would just fling out of their orbit. It would be instant chaos and instant death if God turned away from His creation for just a moment. But through His unhindered sovereignty, unsearchable wisdom, and an infinite power, He sustains all things and directs them. He mentions the molecules and men and galaxies to the great end for which they were created, the glory of God. So He mentions, for from Him are all things, through Him are all things, and then finally, to Him are all things. Or thirdly, rather, to Him are all things. And this simple phrase is found the meaning of existence. God created all things and works in all things for His good pleasure and glory to manifest, to show publicly His greatness and receive from us the honor and worship that are due Him. And then finally, to Him be the glory forever. Amen. So the only proper response to the greatness of God is to what? Is to esteem Him above all things and to give to Him the highest honor, the highest adoration, and the highest praise. There is an important Latin phrase used in theology to describe this truth, which is soli Deo gloria, which means to God alone be the glory. Notice also in Colossians 1:16 is found a passage of Scripture that is very similar to Romans 11:36, but it speaks specifically about the Son of God. Notice there it says that all things, we'll read the whole verse here, for by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. And so the Father is the source of all things, Romans 11:36 tells us, but He has created all things through the Son, John chapter 1, verse 3, who is the mediator between the Father and creation. So through the Son, the Father created all things. He reveals Himself to His creation, reconciled the creation to Himself. He rules creation and will one day judge creation. I encourage you, if you have not already, to read all of those scriptures where it talks about all of those things that God reveals Himself to His creation. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I believe it's in John 1:18 where it says, and this Word dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as none other than the only begotten Son of God. And so that's what it's talking about. God has revealed Himself to His creation through His Son. He reconciled creation to Himself, and He rules it, and one day He will judge creation. And then all things have been created for Him. All things have been created for Him. It is no contradiction to say that all things have been created for the glory and good pleasure of both the Father and of the Son. According to the Scriptures, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. John 3:35. And it is the Father's will that all honor the Son as they honor Him. Therefore, everything said in Romans 11:36 about the purpose of creation may be applied to the Son. All creation in all realms has one great and final purpose, the glory of God. So as we, even this morning, hear something that maybe we've heard all of our life, but just being reminded of the purpose of creation, that we were created to give God glory. What about your life today? What about your life as you think about this past week? How have you given God glory and the praise that is due unto Him? How have you, in an outwardly manifested way, of those who see your life, whether it be your family or those you work with, how have they seen you give glory to God? Well, one way we can give glory to God is just by living a holy life, living a righteous life. In 1 Peter it says, "Be ye holy," speaking of God. God speaking, He's quoting the book of Exodus. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And living in this dark world in which we live in, and all of the sin and vileness that we're seeing, my soul, you want to shine for Jesus, just live a holy, separated life. And in you doing that, we'll give glory and honor to God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus. Let's take just a moment for some prayer requests. And we'll have a word of prayer. Anyone have any special? Yes.
Bud said they're taking Harlan to the emergency room. She's got 102 fever. Just get prayer for her and find out what's wrong.
Okay, pray for Harlan. Danner. They're going to take her to the emergency room. She has 102 fever. Yes, Lynn.
My friend Kenny Fuller, her mom passed away.
Say that again.
Kenny Fuller.
Okay.
A friend of mine, her mom passed away, and they'll be having services on Wednesday. If you could pray for them.
Okay, pray for the Penny Fuller and her family as her mom has passed away. The funeral is Wednesday, and Robbie's preaching the funeral. Pray for that family. Yes, Mary.
Pastor Lord called me last night, or Friday, and her granddaughter Kayla had twins.
Oh, wow.
And they are in UAMS. They're early. They're like, I don't know how many weeks early, but they're early. They're only like a pound and a half or 2 pounds.
Mm. Wow, wow. Yeah. So pray for Kayla, right? Kyla, yes. Yeah, Kyla Jones. All right, anyone else?
Happy Walters, 4-year-old girl. She's in Children's Hospital with got some lung problems. Fluid building in her lungs, infection in her lungs.
Okay. Pray for Hadley Walters. 4 years old and not doing well at all. All right, let's have a word of prayer and just remember our services to come. Yes. Uh-huh.
Sandy Goodwin's cousin, Wayne, is in the hospital. He probably has fluid on the bones. Some infection.
Okay. All right, pray for Sandy Goodwin's husband. Is it Wayne, you say?
Wayne.
Yes. All right, let's go to our Lord in a time of prayer. Our great and mighty Father, once again we come before your throne and just we're thankful, Lord, for this lesson, Lord, how much it blessed me and reminded me of my infinite worth, but not just my infinite worth, but all of creation's infinite worth. And Lord, we are blessed, and we have this worth not because of anything worthy in us, but because of the one who has created us, because of the one who formed us from the dust of this earth and breathed life into our soul. We are worthy because of your sustaining power in us. And Father, we ask you, Lord, to help us be reminded, Lord, of our worth just by rights of creation, that we have a purpose, that we were not some accident. We were created on purpose, for a purpose. And Father, I pray that we would give you glory and honor in all that is said and done in our lives. Father, we pray for Harlan. We pray, God, that the fever that she has would break. We pray, Lord, for the Penny Fuller family as they bury a loved one this week. Pray for Kyla Jones and those two precious babies, Lord, that are in need of your sustaining power upon their lives. We pray, Lord, for young Hadley Walters, who's very sick and needs a touch from you. And we also pray, Lord, for Wayne Goodwin, as he needs a special touch from you, Father. I pray for Sandy, God, that you would give her the strength and peace that she needs. And Father, I pray that you bless the service to come. And Father, I just pray, God, your power through your word would be displayed in the proclamation of it and the declaration of it. And Lord, also the application of it, that we would apply the truths that we hear to our heart and life so much so that it changes us and that we leave here differently from the way we came in. Father, we love you. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, I want to just remind everyone that we do have